In this episode, Roger Cutsforth, Managing Director of the Radio Academy, reviews his first year in office and tells us about this year's radio festival, the 30 Under 30 campaign and the ARIAs.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan, and it has been a turbulent couple of years for the Radio Academy, but from its new HQ in Leeds, Roger Cutsforth has been beavering away and putting it back together, and he joins us now. Roger, how's it been going? I imagine your feet have barely hit the floor.
Yeah, well, I think the last nice break I had was when we met just in July or August last year, Trevor, when I'd just taken over and we enjoyed a beer in King's Cross Station. So it's been a hectic 12 months since then.
So what have you been concentrating on? I guess funding really has been the main issue.
It has been, and looking at the whole business model of the Academy and unfortunately the situation that the Academy got into at the back end of 2014 and 15, I took the view that it was, well, let's just go with a fresh start and how would we build things from the bottom up. We had great support from the patrons, but that wasn't enough, and we needed to look at how do we return it to being a membership organisation and make it more attractive for individual staff of the radio industry and professionals in the industry to get them to sign up. And we were focusing on the website, the content, what information we could provide, and obviously on the roster of events that we did. How do we make them better, more interesting and more affordable, and get the revenue in that way. And we've also had great support from commercial partners as well, with the likes of PRS and PPL and Arkiva, who've helped us with the festival and Hall of Fame lunch last year, and then this year with Leeds Beckett University coming in to support the announcement of the ARIAs. So both with the patrons, commercial partners and the membership revenue, we're starting to make positive moves in the right direction.
If the Radio Academy is about one thing, it's about bringing the industry together. So it must have been a blow when Global Radio, the biggest commercial operator, decided to discontinue its funding. Do you think there's any chance that you can persuade them to come back on board?
I'd love them to come back on board, obviously, and, you know, it'd be foolish to say it wasn't disappointing that they decided not to. But we don't take it personally at the Academy. Global have their priorities, which is right and proper and what they're looking to do. And they decided to focus their patron fees in other areas, and we have to respect that. Having said that, they are still being supportive of the Academy. And you'll see the recent announcement for Radio Festival with the likes of Ricky Wilson and Katie Hopkins appearing at the festival, etc., that they are still supporting in that way. And so hopefully in time, if we make the Academy even more relevant and even more credible, then all industry would want to be a part of that. So, yes, disappointing, but we move on.
You mentioned the Radio Festival. It's on September the 26th this year. It's back at the British Library, a one-day event. Why did you move it so close to Next Radio, which seemed a little bit over-competitive to some people, Rog?
Yeah, I understand that, and it was unfortunate. What we did was we actually kept it the same days as last year. And the reason it was moved last year was for some particular content that the festival, and it was prior to me starting, had been talking about with Project Everyone, and the bits that we did at festival last year linking in with Richard Curtis and the Global Goals. And that was particularly why we'd moved it last year. So we kept it at the same time this year, partly because of availability at the British Library, but also because it just seemed inconsistent for us to be then changing the dates back to, and we wanted to get that fixed date in the diary where we were. We also see that you know, we don't see that we're in competition with Next Radio. They do their thing, and I have to say they do it very well, and we do our thing, and I don't think either Next Radio or Festival are mutually exclusive. So that their decision's behind it.
I guess you must have thought when you developed the Arias, the successors to the Sonys, that you might have put them in the spring to spread your workload. As it is, no sooner will you have done the festival than that you'll be staging the Arias in Leeds. Again, what was the thinking about doing that so quickly?
Well, for the Arias particularly, if we looked at a number of things, one was availability of the venue. The other one was fitting in with Leeds, the host city, when they wanted to fit it into their schedule. For us as well, we had to look at the fact that the Arqiva Commercial Radio Awards had moved forward to the spring from the summer. So we looked at the summer. We didn't think that was appropriate to maybe go into the slot that they'd vacated there. So all in all, looking at where we were, despite the fact it increased our workload significantly, we thought getting one in before Christmas rather than afterwards and people having to fill in the awards over the Christmas period was the best way to go.
A word about the categories in these new awards. There's some disquiet amongst the documentary and feature making community that there doesn't seem to be an opportunity at the Arias to win an award for, you know, a documentary or any kind of built programming.
I think one of the key things that we wanted to do was looking at other award ceremonies and previously what the Sonys were like, were to have a dramatically reduced category list. And that was the key thing. We'll all have attended numerous awards events over the years and they seem to go on forever. And you get to that point where at the end, when you're doing probably the most prestigious awards, typically at these kind of events, there's a lot of people that have had are either bored or had too much to drink, and they don't seem to get the due respect at that was. So we wanted to reduce that and make it more entertaining. Also, we were looking at what are the other awards out there, and trying not to tread on other people's toes, whether that be the RPAs or the Arqiva Commercial Radio Awards. So looking at those things and thinking, right, where is it right for us to fit, and what do we do? I think also is that we've tried to keep the categories quite wide in some areas. So what I would say for documentaries particularly is that sort of fits into, and it mentions it specifically in the category description anyway, of audio moments of the year. So we would be hopeful that people would look at that, the rubrics for that, and consider entering that as well. We've had, you know, a little bit of comment as well from people doing station imaging. We've had some comment from people doing sales and marketing. And I'm from a sales and marketing background. But again, we're just looking at where do we fit, and not wanting to tread on other people's toes. And ultimately, our awards are those ones that have got to sit right across the top. So we can't please all of the people all of the time. And unfortunately, in our desire to be able to, A, get a good event and a good show, which is what we want the UK Arias to be, then we feel comfortable with the 16 categories that we've got.
Okay, I imagine that you'll get some pushback about some of that.
Yes, I imagine we will. But I can't please all of the people all of the time, Trevor.
Indeed not. Next on your agenda is the 30 Under 30s closing date, which is the end of this week. How's that going this year?
It's going fantastic. And looking at the quality of the entries this year, it's been amazing. And Nikki Holliday, who's our director of events and managing that for us, we were discussing that just yesterday. So I know that we've got a lot of people sort of frantically rushing around trying to get their entries in. And going back to your point earlier as well, for having an event in the spring, the launch event for the 30 Under 30 that we did at Under the Bridge at Stamford Bridge in May was our key thing. We wanted to make 30 Under 30 a lot bigger and a more important part of our roster of events, and indeed a more important part of the Academy. It seemed to be, in my opinion, over the years, something of a little bit of an add-on to what we were already doing, whether that be at festival or whatever. And I felt it deserved its own place. And I'm delighted to say that that launch event that we did in May was a fantastically well attended and fantastically well received. So, yeah, we're excited about the entries coming in. So we're looking forward to that. And I know the judging panel can't wait to get the teeth stuck into it.
Going back to the radio festival, TechCon used to be a very important part of it. And I think some of the people who used to go to that felt somewhat abandoned by the Radio Academy when you stopped doing it. Now they've gone off on their own. How do you feel about that?
I feel very happy with what we're doing there. I had good conversations with the guys at TBC Media who have taken on Radio TechCon this year, and we're working closely together in to do that. As you know, in terms of our resource at the Academy, we've been pretty limited. The problem for us was that actually with, as you've already alluded to, the events that we've got in the last quarter, TechCon as part of festival was something that it wasn't quite working for me and for the Academy in terms of its profile, and I felt what it deserved. So, and again, for us then to put the resource into helping them the way that we would want to, when we discussed it with the TechCon committee, it was just not working out. So the guys at TBC Media that have taken that on, we are had good conversations with Andy Buckingham and Anne and Aradna, and I'm wishing them all the best. And they're still making those. We'll be promoting it for them, and also Radio Academy members will be able to get discounted tickets. And I'm sure they're going to do a fantastic job. That's not to say that as an academy, we don't look at the technical community and what we can do better moving forward. But for this year, you know, we're happy with where we are with that.
I'm sure there'll be other opportunities to plug the festival, but there are some big names there. Nick Robinson's there, Scott Mills and others. Some people are saying Katie Hopkins. Should the Radio Academy be giving a platform to her?
Well, I think as an academy, we should give a platform to all viewpoints in our industry. And I don't think we should shy away from controversy. Katie has a very strong following as well. And, you know, if you look at the programme on Global's LBC, then I think it's been doing fantastically well. And the theme for the festival this year has been one of disruption. And I think if we look at that, there is no one that fits that bill better than Katie.
Okay, Roger, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Today programme this week. I think everybody in the industry wishes you and the Academy every success. So it's 30 under 30's deadline this Friday. Entries in for the ARIAs middle of August. And I suppose get your membership up.
Absolutely. And thanks for your time. I appreciate it, Trevor.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Roger Cutsforth, MD of the Radio Academy. And if you are disappointed by the lack of specific categories for documentary programmes in the ARIAs, do remember the Radio Production Awards, the RPAs, though soon to be renamed the APAs. Achievement in the documentary and feature area will still be recognised there. David Lloyd's radio moments still to come, but first here's Stuart Clarkson with the latest Radio Today news.
Thank you, Trevor. This week, big changes at Manchester's Key 103 as Breakfast co-host Chelsea Norris leaves the station. She's been one half of Mike and Chelsea in the Morning for the last 11 years there. No official word from Bauer at the time of recording on who her replacement might be. After a few Thursday night takeover shows, Martin Kellner is joining the DAB station Radio Yorkshire for a weekly Saturday morning show. Regular listeners to this podcast will be aware of Martin's sacking by BBC Radio Leeds earlier this year and his subsequent fairly public views on the matter. Another community station is closing down. Radio Teesdale's been on FM in Barnard Castle, County Durham for the last 10 years. The station says it's because of reductions in both grants and ad revenues. Dot Radio domain names are coming next year, and they'll be administered by the European Broadcasting Union. The EBU's won a bid process for the top-level domain, which has taken around 4 years to sort out. And TechCon is returning this year with new owners. The Radio Technology Conference is being run by Anne Charles, Andy Buckingham and Aradhana Tile, and trading as TBC Media. It'll happen at the Arts Theatre in central London on the 28th of November. And those are this week's big stories from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments, David Lloyd.
The network chart now. Hit 40 UK is the longest running regular network programme across commercial radio. And this week, 23 years ago, the chap who launched it hosted his last edition.
Is the network chart with the sounds that rain down all over Britain via the SMS satellite. And for the last time on the network chart, this is Kit Jensen turning up the heat for the feet with the hottest top 40 in the UK. And from the corridors in the Gallery of the Greats, we hear a network chart nugget from Europe.
The last network chart with Kit Jensen this week in 93. As the war ended, the government pledged that within 90 days it would give us improved domestic radio services, and it made it, with time to spare. One of the results was Programme B, which became known as the Light Programme.
Good morning, everyone. This is the BBC Light Programme on wavelengths of 1,500 and 261 metres. It's the first time we've said those words, BBC Light Programme, which we hope are going to mean for you now and in the days to come all that is best in radio entertainment from 9 o'clock in the morning to midnight. Now I'm handing over the microphone to a colleague who will bring you the news.
Japanese warships damaged in...
Tom Chalmers launching the Light Programme on Long Wave this week in 1945. It was to split into Radio 1 and Radio 2 22 years later. In fact, the announcement of that carving up came this week in 67. Radio 1 was to be light, warm-hearted, swinging programmes, avoiding that mid-Atlantic style.
I've got something new that'll make you listen to make people happy all day. It's Radio 1 on 247 to chase all your worries away. So stay tuned in and you get the message about what we're trying to say. It's fun all the time and there's lots of music the DJs are dying to play.
Oh, and as part of those swinging programmes, this week in 73... Yes, the arrival of the Radio 1 Roadshow this week, 43 years ago. Newquay was the venue, Johnny Beerling remembers.
And we set up, and that was the first problem, was we were in the car park of a cafe on North Bistral Beach. Alan Freeman was the DJ, and the engineer said, oh, I don't seem to have a long enough mains cable to get the power to the van from the cafe. So we said, well, that's not a problem, we'll go to the local electricity board and buy some cable.
Memories of the Radio 1 Roadshow. And later in Radio 1's history, one presenter thought it needed a saviour, and he was that character as he arrived this week in 97.
Weekday mornings from 4 till 7, a man in a studio with headphones on. The Early Bit with Chris Moyles.
So what was everybody else doing last night? 0500 110 100. Stuart in Didcot was playing chess. Lee from Wolverhampton was fixing burglar alarms. Alan from Barnsley was practicing to be as good as I am a DJ on the radio.
Right, okay.
And Gav and Stu are still decorating in Chesterfield and have been all night. They're decorating in Chesterfield.
Chris Moyles, who began at Radio 1 this week in 97, the saviour of early morning radio. He took over that 4 a.m. slot. This week, 12 years ago, Radio 4 was marking the 10th anniversary of Tony Blair's Labour leadership. Or at least, Jim Nocte was trying to.
Tributes were delivered in numerous ways. One or two might be called backhanded. Anyway, watching the anniversary unfold was our parliamentary correspondent, Robert Orchard.
First class, galley flight attendant and our purser's been stabbed. And we can't get a good copy.
Handed to
you. That was the wrong tape. Stand on. That wasn't Robert Orchard.
So, what are we going to try and get Robert Orchard? Let's see. This is exciting. No, no Robert Orchard.
Sing a song.
Right. Well, in that case, we can't go to our newspaper review in Johannesburg either because he's not there. We have a problem with that. Indeed, we seem to have a problem with just about everything else. So let's do what we call in the trade a standby, which is... this is terribly confusing, but I don't think either of us can find the bits that we are supposed to
Here we are. Look, I'll tell you what we're going to do. because we can not go to Parliament, we're going to go to a new building.
Radio 4 struggling this week in 2004. It's 35 years this week since commercial radio arrived in Aberdeen.
And here I am, bringing you the very first day on North Sound. Good Monday morning to you. We've got a nice day for it. Excellent. The first of a million and one good things coming your way. It's the Carpenters and...
We've only just begun.
North Sound launching in Aberdeen from an old school this week in 1981. And like many stations, it used to go off air back then at 8 o'clock at night. Nicky Campbell started there too, didn't he? This week in 77, Lady Plowden, who was then chief of the IBA, then the commercial radio's regulator, stood up to proclaim the young network's success. She related that ILR, independent local radio, attracted an audience of 13 million. It's now more than double that. She then went on to say that the IBA, which also regulated TV at the time, was doing a great job. No new regulator was needed, she said. And there were loads of stories back then about Bridget Plowden, otherwise known as Biddy. Here's Roger Day.
I remember she looked at the studio and she says, "Oh, you've got two turntables. Is it in case one breaks down?" And I almost collapsed in laughter. I couldn't believe it. And I was warned not to say anything, obviously.
Stories of Lady Plowden, who was declaring commercial radio a success this week in 77. 52 years ago this week, Tony Blackburn made his debut on Radio Caroline South.
Rhythm of the Rain by the Kestrels. This is Radio Caroline, your all-day music station, bringing music into your home 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the time? 27 minutes past 11 o'clock. Tony Blackburn here, hoping you're enjoying this morning's top deck and getting buffeted around just a little because our tender's come alongside. It couldn't make it yesterday because it was a little bit choppy, but nevertheless it seems to have made it today all right.
And Tony Blackburn, who made his radio debut aboard Caroline this week in 64. So with Brian Matthew joining the BBC 61 years ago...
I should look forward to our next meeting very much indeed.
The return of Noel Edmonds to BBC Radio 13 years ago after 20 years' absence.
There you'll find the entry coupon and all the details you need to get in the running for a radio record, bonus album prizes and autographed DJ photos.
Pulse moving from Forster Square 2 years ago.
Peter Levy.
Arrival officially of the Sonovox effect as a huge asset to advertising this week, 77 years ago.
David Lloyd.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. And by the way, do check out David's blog about his crowdsourced 10 Commandments of Radio. Stimulating stuff. This has been a TDC production. Thank you for listening. I'm Trevor Down. We'll have more for you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.